Hello there, I'm Colleen.
And I'm Anders. We're nerds who love science fiction and fantasy stories, so of course we love Star Wars.
And if there's one thing the internet just can't get enough of, it's nerds talking about Star Wars. So each episode, we journey to a galaxy far, far away to discuss what's new in the Star Wars canon and beyond. This is yet another Star Wars podcast.
And today we are excited to be back to share our reactions and theories for the newest season three episodes of The Bad Batch. Colleen, there's only the finale left.
I think that's insane. I'm going to talk about that later.
I
That we only have one episode left. Is it 3 hours long? For
It's an
real?
hour long. No, it's 1 hour. These episodes were written by Jennifer Corbett, Dave Filoni, and directed by Stuart Lee, Brad Rao, and Sal Ruiz, and Nathaniel Villanueva. This is your official spoiler warning for these episodes and all things Star Wars. So if you're ready, grab a drink from the cantina as we discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, Juggernaut, Into the Breach, and Flash Strike. Just go right ahead. Let's punch it with the episode recap.
Okay, here we go. Three episodes. Omega is delivered to Mount Tantus, and Hemlock confirms her blood can successfully be used as a binding agent for high M count blood. Uh-oh. Emery is still going along with this, but it's clear she's more uncomfortable with the arrangement than she was before. While escaping Pabu, Crosshair reveals that he knows someone who could lead them to Tantus after all. Former Vice Admiral Rampart, the Imperial who oversaw the destruction of Kamino at the end of season one.
That was a
He
great
didn't say
sequence.
this. Oh, yeah, that was amazing. I mean, the end of season one was
Just thinking
fantastic.
back to it, that was just an absolutely beautiful and also terrible, depressing sequence.
Yeah, the set piece was fantastic, let's be fair. And then so was Rampart's downfall in the Senate chamber,
That was great and
which, of
unexpected.
course, Palpy did that. He's like, yeah, we're going to let this guy take the fall. I'm certainly not going to. We're going to let this guy do it. Okay, so of course, Crosshair didn't say any of this before because plot, I mean, because it's so dangerous and he hoped to not go back to Tantus ever again. For real, there is a meaning behind everything. And then we get Fee. Fee's back. Fee gets the clones to Rampart's labor prison planet, kind of in between. And after an absolutely thrilling tank chase, the Bad Batch rescue him in exchange for information. Turns out that information isn't so easy to get. Rampart doesn't know the location of Tantus offhand, but he does know how to get it. Any ship going to Tantus must dock at a specific station over Coruscant, where it gets the coordinates directly in the nav computer. Like, this actually has some security to it. Like, kind of
Yeah,
applause to the Empire here.
it's a cool setup, and I love, we'll get to it later, but when he's like, how was I supposed to know the fine details?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what Crosshair said before when he's like, I was a prisoner. I did not know the bureaucracy of Mount Tantus, which is very fair. So the team will have to intercept the coordinates at the station and make their way to Tantus from there. They rendezvous with Echo, Yay, and plan the heist. Meanwhile, Omega has met the other children in the vault and is beginning to plan their escape.
Very cool. I love that. I love that at the end when she's like, oh, guess what? I've escaped from this place before, and
Yep.
I'm gonna do it again.
Heck yeah, she is. She's given like Major Steve McQueen vibes here in The Great Escape.
Very much so. So the Bad Batch dresses Rampart up as a captain. He's very clear to tell them, excuse me, I was a vice admiral. And they make it onto this station above Coruscant, disguised as his security detail. Rampart successfully bluffs their way through security. Great comic stuff here.
Fantastic. I love it.
He
Love
was just
everything about it.
unfortunately, though, there isn't a way to steal the coordinates.
Course
It,
not.
the ships don't get them while they're docked. They're programmed to receive the coordinates into the nav computer after they've already disembarked from the station. And again, how was Rampart supposed to know this? All he
Of
knew
course.
was when he was an admiral, you went to the station, you left and went to Tantus.
Yeah, that's it. Why would, yeah, the fine details? No. He didn't know
This
that.
means Echo's going to have to sneak onto a ship departing for Tantus, disable the proximity sensors so that their shuttle can latch on and hitch a ride.
Very
In the
cool.
vault, Omega manages to remove a panel from her cell wall, Great imperial workmanship here, I gotta say. That thing fell off very easily. I know she
Yeah.
had a tool, but like
Small child able to like pry apart her wall in her
know.
prison cell. Probably not the best design.
Revealing a possible escape route. Echo succeeds, but he cuts it really close. And the team is finally on the way to Tantus. Then we get into Flashstrike, the penultimate episode of the series. Opens up, the Bad Batch is making its way to Tantus. Unfortunately, Hemlock's alerted to the possible security threat, and Echo's going to have to find his own way off of that Imperial ship. The shuttle's spotted and shot at, and in the vault, Omega can hear the cannons and knows that her brothers have come for her, just like she said they would.
Yeah, they're there. They're there to get their big sister.
I just love the way she says it too. They're here. Who? My brothers.
Brothers. Dun dun dun.
The
For the Emperor.
Imperials search the shuttle wreckage, but they don't find any bodies. The batch makes its way through the jungle and have a very bad encounter with the Dryax, resulting in Rampart getting separated from the group and captured by the patrols.
Yes, he actually looks kind of depressed by that.
Yeah, but no way that this goes bad for him or for anybody. Just everything's fine.
Oh yeah, totally. Nothing is going to go to hell in a handbasket immediately. Next episode. So we go back to Omega. She's exploring the walls of Tantus and comes across a group of Imperials experimenting on the Zillow Beast.
They've even got it. It's like they're trying to drown it.
Yeah, he's in like this container and like, poor Bean
Kind of
doesn't
like,
deserve
actually,
this.
just occurring to me now, kind of like a nice little Tantalus homage. It's like the water's
Ooh.
like up to the chin and the stuff's kind of hanging down from the top.
Oh, poor Zillow Beast. And by that, I mean, I hope you eat all of those Imperials, Zillow Beast. So Omega notes this for later. She barely makes it back to her cell before her scheduled blood collection. Like, this was a nail biter getting her back to her cell. Echo steals, amazing. No notes for Echo here. Steals a standard stormtrooper's uniform and a droid's hand. Amazing. I
Great,
love
great
this.
comedy too, as he's leaving. He's just like, thanks for the hand.
Yes, he gets to drop upon fabulous Star Wars experience there. He does make it off the science ship. He goes out through like the droid vacuum, which
Which
is
is how he got
even
in.
better. Yeah, how he got in, how he gets out, because of course the Imperials are not going to check anything that like their servants use, to be fair. So Echo gets a lock on Omega's location, discovered by Emery, of course, who says that if he wants to free Omega, he'll need her help. Similarly, Omega tells the other children that their escape will take teamwork.
Dun dun dun.
Oh my goodness. So
Right.
much going on.
Yes. All right, Colleen. What did you think?
Okay, I think they ramped up the action and tension so much in these three episodes. I really liked them. They felt like a set, like they definitely feel like they go together. And I feel like we're heading into a series finale, although I think the last episode would need to be much longer for what ha they have to cover. But I have faith. I think they're going to pull it out. I really didn't know I needed Rampart's return. Yet here we are. He's got a beard. He's sassy. He's
I maintain
hilarious.
with the beard, I swear he looks like Ryan Reynolds.
He kind of does. Like, for real. He stepped out and I was like, hold the phone. Kind of like when Callus got a beard and we're all like, wait. Wait a minute. Is he hot? Is he an Imperial, but also is he hot? I just liked that this added comic relief because we really needed it, because there's a lot of child experimentation going on. So we kind of need Rampart bumbling around in the background, even though he's a former vice admiral. He's still really shit as a soldier. It's like, how did you get there besides your good looks? Like, how? I need to know. Did you go through any sort of like training? 'Cause for real, no. And then of course, Echo stealing the stormtrooper armor. We love to see it. It has happened so many times. Stormtrooper's armor always be getting stolen and somehow always fits everyone that steals it. But hey, that's totally fine. Loved it. Loved him stealing the droid's hand. And then I also noticed that that one Imperial officer was taller than Wrecker. I was like, wait, what? Like, Wrecker's supposed to be this giant, and now here's this giant trooper man. Like, wait. They're supposed to be, it's supposed to be shorter.
I know. All right, I have a question for you, Colleen. As an expert in Star Wars lore, as an
Oh
expert
no.
on Star Wars characters, is Fi, in fact, the best pilot in the galaxy in Star Wars? Because any other time that any other pilot who described themselves as like one of the top pilots in the galaxy tries that like stealth entry maneuver where she cuts the engines, they fall, and then she kicks them in, whatever, they would scrape the ground. They would like sideswipe just a little bit like the top of a mountain. There would be something, and Fee pulls it off without a hitch.
Oh my God, that is a really good question.
So
If
is Fee actually the greatest pilot in the galaxy?
she pulls this off like every time, possibly, because that was a really smooth
I'm
like
just thinking about like
entrance.
how many times have we seen like the Millennium Falcon get like scraped, the sat dish
Yeah.
comes off, like something
Yeah.
happens. Is that not actually big enough?
No, and Hera has had a lot of incidents where she has scraped up the ghost
Yeah.
as well. So if you look at their kind of stealth approaches, I think Fee is probably the best out of them. Although them getting the shuttle onto the like attached to the transport ship was also a pretty sweet
That
move.
was really sweet.
But Echo also had a big part in that. I would say Fee is just so used to her ship and is really talented with her ship and just has absolute faith in herself and how to pilot it. That she's like, oh, I'm a show off now. But you're making a good case.
So I really liked these three episodes. I agree with you. They do very much feel like a set, which, I mean, we're covering the three of them together, I think, because we had some scheduling issues, so we couldn't do the two like we originally planned. But it worked out really well because they go so well together. It's really interesting to me how they're so great. There's so much great tension and actions, and yet not a lot happens. Like, when I was like going to start the recaps, I was like, actually,
What happened?
plenty of things. Like, we've had plenty of episodes, and this is where I have faith in the finale, where like so many discrete events happen and it feels narratively well done within like those 22 minutes, that I think a 45 minute to an hour episode is going to successfully pull off the finale. My only real complaint with it, though, is that Omega ends each one not only in the exact same place, which makes sense, sort of the monotony and the slow build of building her plan is kind of expected, but the way she like she basically ends each one on the same line. Like, we're going to escape. I think I found a way for us to escape. I
The
think I have
brothers
a
are
plan
here.
for us to escape.
Yes. Yeah,
Like,
that kind of felt stagnant a little
That
bit.
felt kind of stagnant, but I mean, things are building, and it did sort of start to give me some Andor vibes of the prison arc, because that
Yes,
stuff does kind of
please.
happen slowly. I did think of a nice kind of connection here. The tank is really cool looking and actually fits nicely if you're ever wondering why the heck something in Star Wars actually has wheels, a vehicle actually has wheels. Newly published is The Living Force, a book that takes place just prior to Phantom Menace and deals with the members of the Jedi Council and how they need to get out in the real world. But there is a point where they make comments about how they're a hover cart sometimes just isn't able to navigate up mountain paths like that. In that book, it's when they're going up to a Jedi outpost.
An all-terrain vehicle. That
An
is what they
alternate,
need.
yes. I gotta say, Crosshair's come a long way in this series. Like, he has had one of the more satisfying arcs in terms of like going up, coming down, kind of starting to redeem himself. But describing what happened to Topeka City as decommissioning is a rough one, dude.
Yeah, I don't think he's fully willing to
when
accept
decommissioned Topeka City.
as the others are like, wow, we all nearly died.
Yes. And then the other character who's doing really well with an arc, Omega, I love seeing her now kind of in like a training commander role.
Yes, she's come a long way.
She's come a long way. She's getting these kids. She's like, no, you stall them. What? What does that mean? Eh, you'll think of
Cover
something.
me. Yeah, cover me. What? Oh my God, these are children.
Yes, but overall, I mean, these episodes were overall really well. I remember we were kind of nervous if having three episodes before the finale, if they were going to be able to kind of how they were going to cover what we knew they were going to get to, which is the invasion of Tantus. And I think they just did a really good job constructing these.
Yes, I agree. And we needed Rampart back, apparently, because
Yes.
he's hilarious. I'm here for this.
All right, rolling right into Easter eggs, connections, and callbacks. First off, Rampart's on a prison planet, and is that Jin's prison planet from Rogue One? No, it's not. But it is definitely taking an inspiration from that prison colony. The Have Juggernaut transport that the Bad Batch hijacks is the same model that Jin is rescued from in her Rogue One intro. It's also been featured in The Mandalorian and in Solo. The name of the class Juggernaut is also a classic character from X-Men, which means an unstoppable force.
Which a tank should be, I suppose.
Usually.
Yeah, immediately when I saw Juggernaut, I was like, from the X-Men? No, it's just the tank, folks. Okay.
Will the pilot of one of those ever kind of like ran through a wall and say, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch"?
I mean, I hope not. It's a scene I would rather forget that ever happened.
Oh, come on. That was fun.
No.
I say as someone who has zero emotional investment in Marvel at all.
is
I go
fair.
there to just have fun and not think.
Yes. And that scene definitely was not for the thinking peep. Still a good performance, though. I still did enjoy it. Speaking of that tank and fighting space Nazis upon a tank. This is great. Tank fight and chase is a classic Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade homage, even including a trooper getting wiped out by a rock whilst hanging off the side of the vehicle. This whole, like, Bad Batch has really been a callback to Indiana Jones,
Oh,
and
yeah.
all these kind of classic moments just make it all that bad, much better.
Next up, we have that orbital station above Coruscant. Like so many locations and vehicles within recent Star Wars, it is taken directly from some original Ralph McQuarrie concept art. This time it's from Return of the Jedi. So I have to think that that's got to be the dome-like structure, might also be, may partially been like a Death Star 2 design. At one point.
Yes, I thought it looked like the dome on Lothal also.
Yes, it does.
And then next, this one I was kind of like, could it be? Rampart's shift partner is an Ugnaught, reminding us of Queel from The Mandalorian. We know that Queel was an Imperial slave, so could this be him? Like, he was really great with machines
He
in The
was, but he also knew how to
Mandalorian.
speak English or basic.
That's true. Yeah, but maybe he's like, no, Rampart's a fucking Imperial. I don't want to talk to him. I mean, it could be him. I don't think it is, but I think it would be like a really fun callback if it
It would
was.
be really fun. I mean, or it could be oh shoot, what's his name? Hondo's guy.
Oh,
Oh
no.
no.
For Rebels. For Rebels.
Yes.
I'm having a blank out moment, y'all. It is
I'm having a complete blank
Sunday.
out. I'll think of it
Oh,
later.
Melch, duh.
Melch.
Melch. Oh, poor Melch. Poor
Oh,
sweet
Melch.
Melch.
Next up, we have the title of the second episode, Into the Breach, which is a play on a line from Shakespeare's Henry V. Henry says, "Once more unto the breach, dear friends," to his soldiers during the war with France. It fits really well in with the Bad Batch and the clones in general being a band of brothers, a theme that also comes straight out of Henry V.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just the HBO miniseries, everyone.
No. And then, like we said just a moment ago, that station above Coruscant is shaped like a dome, and it's very similar to the dome that was parked on, launched, and then ultimately exploded above Lothal in the Rebels finale.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yes.
Was like, what do you mean the dome can move?
Along with Governor Price.
Yeah, fuck her. It's
Rest
fine.
in turmoil.
Yeah, one of the actual worst Imperial officers, let's be fair. Okay, next we have this was great. When sneaking into the facility, the Bad Batch have removed their custom graphics from their armor, leaving in its original uniform state. Still, they stand out like crazy, like for real, as the Imperial officer points out that their uniforms are against regulations.
Which
Work
is
like a charm,
crazy.
guys.
How quickly have they officially transitioned? How long, how much time has passed?
I'm not
is a
sure,
good
but it feels
question.
like the clone commandos are the only clones left.
Yeah.
Feels like the rest are just the normal stormtroopers, the conscripted soldiers. So that's a good question. How much time has gone by? Because Omega has aged.
Yeah, Omega's definitely, it's just been like a year or two, at least. Next up, we have the name drop of all name drops. Tarkin's name carries some serious weight. Rampart knows exactly how to bluff his way through security, invoking the name of the Grand Moff and daring the location to call the lieutenant to call him on it. This happens a lot in Star Wars. One of the Imperials' problems is that underlings are completely afraid of all of their superiors, or they're just gunning for their jobs. This makes it really easy for rebel forces to infiltrate places using this bluff and this tactic.
Basically works every time. Nobody
Yep.
wants to get yelled at by the boss. Speaking of getting yelled at, do good soldiers follow orders? Even Crosshair has come to make fun of the clones' classic catchphrase. He's come full circle from season one here, like back with his brothers, still snarky as fuck. We're also reminded that Rampart hates clones. It's like, ugh, defective. Like, wow. This makes sense since he did facilitate the destruction of Kamino, the decommissioning of Kamino, and was in charge of phasing out the clones from the military. I did like that Emery Carr also uses a similar phrase when she's talking to Echo about like why she's going along with the Empire, and she's like, "I was just doing my job." I'm like, oh, more Nazi callbacks.
Yeah. Just doing your job. There's a difference between doing some paperwork and actually being the one who's collecting the blood samples and doing the experiments on the children.
There's a difference between being a caterer on the Death Star and being the laser gunner on the Death Star.
Both met the same fate.
It's true. Yikes. Oh, Luke.
Next up, it is interesting. We noticed the Bad Batch is using the stun settings on their blasters a lot more than in earlier seasons. They're growing even further apart from the clone commandos who are still in the Empire's employ. I mean, we saw the stun setting used only once in A New Hope, and that's at the beginning when the stormtroopers had to capture Leia. She did not use the stun setting on them. She absolutely
No.
killed a trooper on her way out. And later on, Luke and his team are always kind of set to kill.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, if you really look at it, it's very strange though that the Bad Batch have gone back to stun. Like, oh, you guys are actually being nice here. Cool.
It's a little
Okay,
quieter.
so yeah, a little. Yeah, it is quieter. So it's kind of infiltration. Like, it makes sense that you would stun, but also what happens when these people wake up? So you're kind of like trading one thing for another, but I did appreciate this kind of growth within being soldiers who like are only trained to kill, and now
Yeah.
they're going in and using stun settings instead. Okay, next, the episode title Flash Strike refers to the Bad Batch's intended assault on Mount Tantiss. We don't get to see much of this during the episode, so they're like saving the main battle for the finale, pretty much. And
Definitely.
that will be when the actual flash strike happens.
Next, we have the return of the Dryax. This is the creature that Omega and Crosshair ran afoul of during their escape from Tantiss. Is the exact same one that apparently that Rampart tries to nap against. It looks like a cross between a grizzly bear and a really big cat. And why would you just sit down and lean against things in the forest? Like, no.
He's such an idiot. He's just not prepared for this. When they're belaying off of the ship and he nearly dies, it's like, how did he survive this far? He survives so we can have entertainment, folks. That's why. Okay, next, we did say that the Zilla Beast has returned last seen in season two. It seems that we now know where the beast was taken and where it's been spending its time since Clone Wars introduction. This poor BB, our little bean, well, Big Bean now, but still. It's just an
I
animal. It
wonder if
doesn't
they
deserve
ever
this.
actually succeeded in cloning any part of it.
Probably not.
But no, I don't think they ever figured out how to penetrate its skin.
No. I think it's gonna be used in Omega's plan. I think she's gonna pull a Harry, Ron, and Hermione using the dragon in Deathly Hallows and get out of Gringotts. I mean Mount Tantiss. But I think she's gonna need the Force-sensitive kiddos to try and talk to the beast. Like she might be able to as well because Ventress was teaching her how to do that. But I think if all of them were
Oh,
trying to
I
talk
hadn't
to the
even thought
Zilla
about
beast,
that. if
It
she
might have
tells
worked.
them, if she tells them, like, hey, you guys have high M counts, you can talk, you can like think at this beast.
Yes. I can totally see the little baby doing it, being like, blah, 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 it'll
Which
be.
is interesting considering, you know, none of the Jedi on Coruscant ever thought to do that.
No, it might have been that they just were not very good at it too, because like Anakin, please. He's not gonna be talking to any single animal. I don't
Obi-Wan could
think.
have done it.
Yeah, Obi-Wan could have done it. Otherwise, from the rest of them, none of them were really that good at it. Obi-Wan was. They needed Ezra.
Yeah. Next up, we have Crosshair. He tells Rampart that the Empire betrayed them both. It'll be interesting to see where Rampart falls by the end of the series. I absolutely think he's going to sell them out. But will he ultimately escape with the badge? Will he go back to the Empire if he sees an opening that he can get his standing back? Rampart says that Crosshair can't change, but he's probably more talking about himself.
Yeah, I think so too. He does seem kind of like upset about it a little bit, but not really.
No. And then lastly, you mentioned some Great Escape vibes. I definitely was getting some Escape from Alcatraz vibes when Omega was going through the walls and she had to get back to the hole in her cell before the guards came around.
Yes, and Shawshank, if she
And
does the Andy Dufresne at the end and like stands up with her arms out, I'd be totally here for that. I'd be here for that.
All right. Well, then let's head into our final questions and predictions. Any lingering questions coming out of these episodes and predictions for the series finale?
Ooh, they have a lot to wrap up.
But
There are so many
do they,
plot
though?
threads that need closing. I mean, it just feels like there's so much because we still have to know like where Rex is at this point. Like, is he going to come help them liberate the clones from the facility once they can like send coordinates to him? Or is this going to be a Bad Batch only situation? I'm guessing Emery is definitely going to help them, and whether she dies in the process or goes with them will be one of the threads we close. We need to know what happens to Hemlock. Will he be killed? I'm guessing yes. I'm guessing he will go down with the ship. I'm guessing the base will mostly be destroyed, but if they ever intend to use it again, because it seems like they're dipping into Legends a little bit with the Thrawn storyline, part of Tantus base might still be viable. But I'm guessing they want to destroy the whole thing, which appears to be two of the mountains. I really didn't notice it before, but it seems like two of them have the rings around them. So they kind of have two bases there. I want to know if the Batch are going back to Pabu. Like, are we going to go just chill in space Greece forever and like eat baklava and really delicious fruit and just hang out with our dog the whole time? Yeah, where's Badger? I need to know where Badger is.
Badger's still on Pabu,
That is.
enjoying that sea life.
Yeah, Badger's living her best life, like for real. She's just like chilling with
Pabu
everybody
might not
there.
be viable for the Bad Batch themselves, but I think Badger's still back there, and the younger clones that they rescued are
Yeah.
probably still there.
It'll be interesting to see where we go from here. It doesn't feel like they can close everything because I don't think we're getting Clone Rebellion at this point. I can maybe see that happening a little bit later, but like we've said before, if Rex, Wolf, and Gregor kind of still have good standing with the Empire by the time of Rebels, I don't know if they can have a clone rebellion.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't think they have as much. I don't think they need to wrap up quite as much as I think you do. I think that this is kind of a Bad Batch centric thing. Like Rex, it's been great to see him pop up throughout the show, but he's not really a character that's like, oh, we need to wrap up his plot thread. We know what he's doing at this point. He's helping liberate some clones or, you know, kind of forming that fledgling rebellion, but that is always a plot that throughout all of these animated series has kind of been in like the background of things. It's not something that is takes front and center and is like, hey, we need to address this particular thing. We know what's going to ultimately happen there. I mean, yes, I think it's worth exploring how he ends up where he is at the start of Rebels, but that doesn't have to happen here,
That's
if
true.
that makes sense.
We
I
have no
think
tales of the clones.
Yeah, Tales of the Clones or a book or comics or whatever can kind of bridge that gap. I think we just need to wrap up what is happening with the clones and something about Project Necromancer and what causes the delay, which would make sense if Tantiss does ultimately get destroyed, right?
Definitely.
So for me, the finale is called The Cavalry Has Arrived, and I'm taking that as absolute confirmation that Ming-Na Wen will make an appearance. That is an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reference if you have not watched that show.
Oh my God,
And
I would love it. The
you know,
cavalry is here.
we've kind of said throughout that we expected Boba Fett to make an appearance somewhere in the Bad Batch in Omega's story, and he hasn't yet. I'm starting to he doesn't even need to, I don't think. Like,
No.
if he never finds out that he has a sister, like, yeah, that's a little strange, but it's also like, okay, well, that makes sense of why he's never mentioned it before, because he never knew.
Yeah.
And she doesn't necessarily know that he's out there.
That's very true. I think she knows that there's like an alpha, but I don't think she knows specifically that it's Boba.
Yeah. And then I'm calling my shots on who I think is not making it out alive. Rampart, Emery, Hemlock, Crosshair. And I'm going to say Hunter. I think only
Oh my
Wrecker and Omega
God.
make it out of this.
Oh my God.
I
You're being so mean. Oh my gosh, I do agree with you on a lot of these, even though I would be really sad to see Crosshair go just because he's grown so much. But it might be his fate to be like the deciding factor that gets them to escape, even if it is just Omega and Wrecker by the end. Do you think the other clones are going to get out? You think like maybe Echo's going to get the other clones out while they try to
That's true.
rescue Omega?
I don't know. It's hard to say because we haven't really touched on them in a while. We got a quick mention when Echo's like, we're freeing all the prisoners, and then we know that he's actually talking about the other clones at the facility, but then when Emery's like the children, he's like, wait, what? And that's it. So
Yeah,
they've really
priority
kind of put
shift.
they've put the focus on these M count kids.
Baby Jedi.
Baby Jedi, baby not Jedi.
Yeah, baby un-Jedi.
So are they even, I don't know, is that just a plot that's just gonna get kind of dropped in favor of helping the kids escape?
It might be. It might end up
Or
like, well, we have a choice
is
to
that
save.
more they can focus on the clones because Omega's got this with the kids. Once
That could
again, she's
happen
getting out
too.
on her own.
I love that she's just like, she's ready to go.
Yes.
She has her own determination. Okay. Do you have anything else?
I don't think so. I think that was it for today.
Oof. It's going to be a big one next time, you guys. Series finale. Holy crap. There's a lot coming up for us with Star Wars. So I just want to thank you all for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at YASWPod. Follow us wherever you're getting your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. Check out our previous episodes on the main Star Wars films and other great Star Wars content. And of course, join us next time when we will look at the series finale of Bad Batch. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot to say about the series in general, our takeaways from it,
It's just so
and
good.
just it's so good. Just how much we enjoyed it and how the animation soared. Like they really, really hit it out of the park with this animation style. I think they've finally gotten to a point where you can have like the worn leather couch on Fi's ship and
Yeah.
have it look real and lived in. It almost better set dressing than some of the live action shows.
Some.
Yeah, some do have very, very good sets. But this one was like, dang, they're really getting the details in here. I love it. And then, of course, we will be covering Tales of the Empire as well, looking at Morgan and Barriss in depth. We can't wait for this. We love covering these kind of stories.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm gonna cry, Anders. It's gonna be fun. Until then, don't lie against strange-looking things in the forest around the experimental genetics facility, maybe. Come on, Rampart. Come on, you know better. Bye, everyone.
Everybody.